Okay, we got a Top Chef in studio, and we were just talking about music.
Yes.
Ironically, he was in a band.
Nice.
And that's how it started. 99.1 PLR, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Chef Tyler Anderson in studio. He came within a point of winning Master of Q on Bobby Flay's Barbecue Brawl.
Oh.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, congratulations. That's a win to me if you get that freaking close. And you're not a barbecue guy, and you were going against barbecue guys.
You know what? I love barbecue, and I'm obsessed with it now, but I don't barbecue all day and night like these guys do.
Yeah.
You know, and women do. So I was in a little over my head in that way. But I cook, so barbecue's cooking.
No, yeah. But that's like being a rocker, and you got on stage and went against classical musicians, and you got within a point of beating them.
Yeah, well,
you know, they'd be like, who the hell is this guy?
Well, look at Beyonce and her country album. You know, I like to compare myself to Beyonce.
Yeah. All right. That's a good comparison.
Yeah. Okay.
Holy crap.
Wow. Yeah.
That's bananas. And what did you have to stay up for 26 hours?
Yeah, we cooked. We stayed up for about 34 hours. We cooked straight for 26 hours.
Why would they keep you up that long?
Yeah, to be.
Was that strategy to get you guys all stressed out and kind of out of your comfort zone?
Well, the thing about the show is that the word barbecue means different things regionally. But normally in the south of the United States, it means a long, slow cook.
Right.
And this show is a lot of two-hour competitions. So in order for them to sort of, I guess, legitimize the finale of the show, they wanted to do an all-night cook just like you do in normal Southern barbecue.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was not cool, but it's cool that they did it.
Yeah. Nice that it's over now.
They rolled us right in from two elimination challenges straight into the finale. And, you know, cooking for 26 hours straight is one thing, but cooking in the dust of Texas with 30 cameras around you, knowing you're going to be seen by millions of people for 26 hours straight is a different sort of stress.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now having done it, everything else you face seems easy. Right?
I guess so.
Yeah,
I guess so. It's certainly a memory we look back on.
At any point did you think, I think I'm going to win this?
You know, I never really thought, I mean, I thought I had a shot, you know. By the time I got to the finale, I was like, things are going well. I'm cooking pretty well. My team was good. And
did you get to pick the team?
No, the team picks you. There's like a team captain for each team, and they pick four people, which is another reason I like the show, because it's more like how a real kitchen works. A real kitchen is based on teamwork, you know, a restaurant kitchen. And a lot of these shows are just you versus somebody else. But this show, in the early stages of the show, is more about teamwork. It's more about putting together a cohesive meal. And it's more about working together.
But they pick you with like shirts and skins and
skins. It's like shirts and skins. You don't want to get picked last.
I hate that.
Where were you picked in order? You know what? I hate to say it. But if I'm doing barbecue and there's all these other barbecue guys, I'm picking you last.
Right?
I was picked fourth.
Nice.
Overall.
Out of
12.
That's great.
So, yeah, it wasn't so bad.
You were top four.
Yeah. You do one dish off the bat, and then they sort of take that dish and they judge you on that dish, and then they pick you from that. And, of course, I did a Connecticut lobster roll because I had to represent where I'm from.
Obviously. Nice.
That's awesome.
And nice.
It worked great.
It did. Yeah, it did. And I got on a great team. My team captain was awesome. And, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. So what was the first thing you guys had to make as a team?
As a team, the first thing we had to make is we had to, so each team has a team captain. So one's Bobby Flay, one's Antonia, who's my chef captain, and one's Manit. And these are all three of the most amazing.
Let me guess, Bobby Flay's team won.
Nope.
Sometimes he loses. I mean,
nope.
Yeah.
Sometimes he loses.
Okay, it's legit. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I feel better about your loss.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that it was a loss, because it's all a win.
Exactly.
When you're 1 point within winning, that's a win.
Whatever you count right now. Yeah.
Oh, you don't sound good with that.
You know, it's still a loss. My dad always said close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah.
And that's the case here, too.
Yeah.
It was the case. I lost. But you know what? To get that far was awesome. To be on 10 episodes of national TV was great, too. It's
right.
Good for business, you know?
Yeah. No, but it's good for your psyche, too.
It is. It is. And it's like encouraged me. Not only did I learn a lot on the show from being surrounded by all these people who are amazing at what they do, but I also networked, and I also have them. So if I have little questions with, I'm having trouble with this, I have, you know, 11
other
people.
Do you have Bobby Flay's cell phone?
Nah. Bobby's is the only one I don't have.
But what was he like to work with? Is he the real deal, or was he a little different off camera?
Bobby is great. I've worked with him a couple times. I've been on Beat Bobby Flay. I've never worked with him for 19 days straight like I did here. But he's a good dude. People always ask me if he's a jerk. I think there's a difference between that and being smug.
Okay.
And I think he's a smug guy. Right. You know, he's just like that's
he likes things a certain way.
That's his character.
And he's earned it.
Yeah, he has.
Right.
And he's really good at what he does. And
he knows it.
An example of how Bobby is you know, there's a lot of downtime on the production.
Yeah.
And during that downtime, he was always cooking for the production team. So he'd always be
making. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, out of nowhere, tacos would come for the staff or,
that
you know.
That he made.
The only gym memberships, by the way.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He is what he is. He is offset what he looks like. And his father passed away a few days before filming.
And that's rough.
You know, so he had that to deal with. And, you know, you never would have known, you know.
Wow.
He's a pro.
Yeah.
He's a pro.
Damn. And then what was the final challenge in this? What did you have to make?
So the final challenge was you had to create.
You made duck, right?
I made a few things.
Wow.
So you had to make five things. One of them had to be smoked for at least 10 hours, and one had to be cooked over an open fire apparatus.
Okay. What was the key to this? What kind of wood did you use?
Mostly post oak because you're in Texas. You're usually using the woods around you, so it's like. Mesquite and post oak, but mesquite will impart like a real heavy flavor.
Yeah.
So I use post oak most of the time.
No liquid smoke at all? Not like that?
No, that's not allowed. That's not allowed.
I got 2 seconds.
There it is. Hey, yeah. No, I should have just thrown some liquid smoke in it and took a nap.
I'm going to some barbecue places.
I'm going to bed.
Make myself all sweaty. I made this for you.
Right. Is that like instant mashed potatoes for chefs, like liquid smoke? Or
you know,
is that liquid smoke is pretty cool?
There's a time and a place for it. There aren't many times and aren't many places for it, but there is.
In your world.
Yeah, there is.
In our world, there's lots of time and lots of places.
I don't have 12 hours.
Yeah. You're a professional. You could whip up something better than that in like 5 seconds.
I want to eat right now.
Yeah. I follow a lot of these cooking accounts on social media, and that is one of those ingredients. The second it goes in, everyone's like, done, not trying it.
Oh, really?
Truffle oil is the other one. I see a lot of chefs are like, please stop doing
this. Yeah, it's terrible.
This.
Truffle oil is terrible. I had a chef tell me that if your restaurant doesn't have the money to buy truffles, then don't put truffles on the menu.
Huh.
So truffle oil is a different compound. It's not even truffle most of the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, and the same with liquid smoke. Obviously liquid smoke is not smoke.
No.
So we try to avoid ingredients that aren't as advertised.
Gotcha.
Right.
If it comes in a bottle, it's not really smoke.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Just so you know, AJ, when we interviewed, who was it, Geezer?
Yes.
Butler from Black Sabbath.
Yes.
In the height of their arguing, asked him how Ozzy was doing.
I did. Yeah.
So bringing up liquid smoke to a top chef in the country.
Just throwing it out.
It makes sense.
It's okay. I mean, there was liquid smoke on set. It was there. It was. It was an available item to cook with.
Right.
So, do you think that's one of those like? If they grab that, they're out of here.
Yeah, I do. I think it was to weed people out.
like a test.
Yeah.
That's the chef that gets picked 12th out of 12.
Tyler Anderson, chef at Millwright's Restaurant in Simsbury. How many restaurants do you have in Connecticut?
So I have Millwright's, which is my baby, and we've been there 13 years almost. Actually, we just turned 13.
How old are you?
I am 48.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a young 48.
Well, I've been
especially for someone working in a kitchen, that life is not an easy life.
Right. Right. Yeah. Lucky genetics, I guess.
Yeah. Good for you.
The key is no liquid smoke.
Yeah. not a lot of natural sunlight in my life, too. You know, those fluorescent lights keep your skin tight.
They do.
So Millwright's,
and then Taku. So Taku is my barbecue and taco restaurant, and it's the reason I got on the show.
I love tacos.
I'm from Southern California, so I love taking Southern-style barbecue and mixing them with Mexican flavors. So that's set up in our parking lot at Millwright's all summer, and so we're open for a few more weeks there. And then I also am sort of like a management consultant at two other restaurants in Litchfield.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so we're going to ask him about cooking for Paul McCartney.
Yes.
I didn't even get to what he made for the final round of this show where
it
came in. The final score is 52-51. Chef Tyler Anderson, chef at Millwright's Restaurant in Simsbury, on the show right now. What were you asking him?
Asking him about The Bear, which is a television show about chefs and cooking, and it has I've heard from a lot of chefs that it's given them PTSD because it's so like working on the line.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It is. It's the last thing I want to do after working a busy service is go home and watch another busy service.
Right.
After being stressed out and having, you know, the problems on that show are certainly exaggerated.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly like that, but that's as close as I've ever seen a show get to giving you the feeling that you're in a restaurant kitchen.
Yeah, being accurate. Yeah.
And that's sort of
an example of like a kitchen crisis? There's a lot of different
ones. A fire.
Yeah, okay.
That would suck, yeah.
You know, multiple call outs and then trying to get it done. Being busier than you expected. Every day there's a minor crisis.
That's the magic in what you do. I always wonder, how do you know what people are going to order?
Tough part. Yeah, you start to get a little bit of a routine, you know, and you kind of know what to get. And, you know, things lay over, right? Things have a 2 to 3 day shelf life. So it's not the end of the world if you're not ordering for just that day. You're ordering for like the next 2 or 3 days.
Right.
So, you know, you figure it out.
What do you do? Like order on a Thursday for the weekend or?
No, I mean, we order every day. So we try to get things in fresh every day. And at my restaurant, we're using a lot of farms and stuff. And so like depending on availability, we get what we get. And our menu rotates more around what's available and less around the menu itself.
So someone told me to, because I was like, what do you order at a restaurant? And you could always ask the people. And they always say, order whatever's on the special because the chef is going to cook something that doesn't normally cook and probably be a little bit more into it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, many times I would agree with that. At my restaurant, we don't have specials. We change the menu every day. So if the menu changes, then everything's special.
See? Everything's special.
We're all special. We all get a ribbon.
You're special. Yes.
But in many restaurants, the special is what gives the chef the creative freedom to do something new. And so they're going to be more passionate about it.
Have you ever gotten into a fist fight in a kitchen?
I have. Yeah. 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 I have. Yesterday.
It sounds like
yesterday. Wow.
It wasn't even his kitchen. He just walked in and started swinging.
Why fish? You get all those knives.
Someone was using liquid smoke and he beat the crap out of him.
No, it was truffle oil. Guys, out of here.
That's it.
Your time has come.
That's it.
No, I was a kid. You know, a lot of us are kind of fiery individuals, and you know, that's a tough spot.
A lot of pressure.
A lot of testosterone, male or female, you know, it's juicing through the kitchen. And it happens. It happens. It's only happened once to me. And I wasn't the person who started it.
Okay.
So,
but you finished it.
But I was involved. I got involved.
Gotcha. Then they were on the special menu.
Exactly. Right. And they were fresh that day.
Chopped dickhead.
Order up.
They called it CDH.
So what was it that you served on the final round that got you 1 point from winning the barbecue brawl with Bobby Flay?
So we had to do the overnight thing. And I also, we're running this menu all week at Millwright's. So if you saw the show, if you're interested in it, we're doing this exact, all 5 courses of this menu as a special menu at Millwright's for this week. We did it last week too. It was crazy busy. So we're doing it again because it's fun. And so for the first dish, I like to cook with vegetables. Like, I think they had a guy on a barbecue show who really likes to cook with vegetables. You wouldn't know it by looking at me. Uh-huh. But I think it's really easy to grill a steak well, right? Yeah. I think it's hard to make a beet taste good. So I made a beet pastrami where we treat beets like pastrami.
Wow.
We boil them in a brine. We rub them. We smoke them. And then we slice them. So that's the first course.
Damn.
The second course, now we're straight into the meat. But the funny thing about the show for me is I didn't cook a piece of meat until episode 5. So I was all vegetables and seafood. For some reason, that's just how it fell.
Okay.
And then next up,
did you get to pick that or no?
Yeah, I got to pick, and that's where I was.
Different.
Yeah, that's where I was in the comfort zone, given the challenge. You know, and that's a lot of the show is you have to have a wide range. If you don't have a wide range, you're going to be in trouble because you don't know what they're going to throw at you. You don't know what other competitors are going to do.
Yeah.
And so you have to work with them and around them to create something that's cohesive as a team. The next course would be like a take on chicken and dumplings, but with smoked duck.
Duck's awesome.
And then
it really is.
Yeah,
it's delicious. It's my favorite bird.
If it's done right, man, it's there's no beating it.
Yeah,
there isn't. And all of it is good. You know, like from the liver to the skin to the, you know, it's all delicious.
Yeah.
And then we're doing a duck, smoked duck breast with like sort of a take on a cabbage slaw, and then a smoked short rib that is smoked and then braised for 3 hours with like some fancy mashed potatoes and some braised cabbage. And then I did a cake on the show. So I did a cake on a smoker.
How do you do a barbecue?
A cake on a smoker.
I was going to do, how do you do a barbecue?
Smoke cake.
You smoke it.
Yeah, I smoked. Well, back to the liquid smoke, I smoked the whipped cream.
Nice.
So I smoked the cream and then did the cake on the big green egg smoker, which holds really good heat and you can easily bake on it.
That's amazing.
So I think I was the first and maybe only person in the history of the show to make a layered cake on a barbecue show. Wow. But I wanted to do dessert. I like sweets.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy crap.
By the way, my son went,
hold on, that's on the menu this week at your restaurant?
All those things are on the menu. So we do a chef's tasting menu at the restaurant, it's five courses always, so it's an easy transition just to do all this.
Yeah.
And people love the idea of being able to eat something just like they saw on TV. So I tell people, you know, come down and see what second place tastes like.
Nice. Why not? That's awesome.
Wow, that sounds amazing. 1 point away.
Damn.
And do you know who, like, was there a judge who you're like, that dude didn't score me right?
I think there was one who definitely was more into the meat stuff. And I'm doing a couple things that have zero meat in them.
Yeah.
You know, two of my five things on a barbecue show from the finale had no meat in them. So I think maybe I took a hit there, but the show ends. When the show ends, you all sit down and you eat it together. So we sat down, the finalists sat down with the judges and with our team captains, and we all ate it together. And I'm going to be honest, the guy who beat me cooked better than I did that day.
Okay.
So
that's cool to say.
Yeah. And I don't feel bad about it. I don't resent anything. I was lucky to finish a point from this guy. He's the quintessential barbecue brawl winner. The guy's been barbecuing his whole life. He's like a third generation Appalachian barbecue guy.
Oh, okay.
He's up in the hills. He does it all day, every day.
Yeah.
He's amazing. And he's an amazing chef. And his food blew me away. I took two bites of the first thing I ate and I was like, okay, I'm in trouble here. So, you know, when you lose to somebody, you know, you got beat, it's a little easier to stomach.
That's easier.
Yeah.
I've been to like equestrian shows and other competitions, Battle of the Bands, and you see, you know, it was just a bad popularity contest.
Yes.
And that person shouldn't have won. So it's easier to digest when the real win, you know, the person who won wins.
Definitely. The guy cooked, you know, the meal of his life and he deserves it 100%.
Yeah.
Yep. Well,
all right. So tell us the time you cooked for Paul McCartney. We had you on the phone after that.
You did, yeah. So I'm not a big kiss and tell when it comes to celebrities. I've worked in a lot of fancy restaurants, and I've had the opportunity to cook for some people I admire. But this was different. You know, having Paul in was different. So I took a picture with him. He never takes pictures
I
guess.
Yeah.
But he liked the food a lot. And I was like, I just got to send this to my mom, Paul. And so I sent it to my mom and she's like, oh my. And then I posted it. And then everybody found out. But a restaurant that I had before COVID, his grandson went to Yale. And we were his grandson's favorite restaurant while he was at Yale. And so they hosted.
Did you know he was Paul McCartney's grandson?
Yeah.
How did you find that out?
He told him.
I mean, I think the GM told me or something like that.
Yeah, it just whispers.
Yeah, and it gets around.
The next thing you know, yeah.
It gets around. And then Paul hosted his graduation party at our restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So, Whoa. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Did he call you personally or his assistant calls and says, this is how it's going
to
go?
Not before. I mean, there was a lot of lead up to that. I've been in touch with his people since then because I've done a couple things for him since then.
Yeah.
Oh, he's then vegan. They really liked your food.
He's vegan, isn't he?
He's vegan and gluten-free.
Wow.
So that's a certain challenge.
That's a toughie, yeah.
I think he dabbles every once in a while, but he tries to stay. He doesn't dabble off the vegan thing, but no. I think every once in a while, the poor guy will have a slice of bread or something.
Right.
But he's a healthy guy. You know, you got to give it to him whatever he's doing.
Working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at his age.
Early 80s.
Look at the other rockers in their 70s dying, and he's still performing.
Yeah, he's going for
strong,
it.
Strong, yeah.
He's going for it.
Everything.
So yeah, it was a great honor. He's a great guy. After the meal, he asked the GM to ask me to come over and sit and talk with him. And I was like, really? And so I was like finishing some things up. And the guy's like, no, he really wants to talk to you. So I sat and talked to them about food and wine for like 15 minutes.
Wow.
No kidding.
He was great. And it was crazy to see somebody who's been that famous for that long kind of be normal.
Yeah.
You know, because you wouldn't expect it.
Just hanging out.
Yeah. And I actually asked him, I said, Paul, we're going to the bar after this. You want to go with us? And he looked at his wife and he looked back at me and he said something like, things get a little crazy when I go out in public.
That's nice.
I wouldn't have guessed.
That means no.
Jeez.
Wow.
And then, you sat and talked about food and wine with Paul McCartney.
Yep, sure did. For a guy who has such a strict diet, he's very into food. You wouldn't expect that, but he travels obviously a lot, and he's eaten a lot, and he's into food. And
yeah, think about that. Since like 1964,
yeah,
he's been traveling the world, eating everywhere. And then by 65 and 6, he can go anywhere he wants when he's
pretty
in
much.
Paris or wherever in the world.
Right.
Yeah. So
Yeah, not much of a budget either.
Right.
Yeah.
So right.
It's not like not only is he eating McDonald's everywhere, but he's eating whatever the hell he wants.
Right. Right.
Tyler Anderson in studio. He came. I want to say he won.
He did win.
Yeah, it was that's reasonable to say. It was pretty much a tie. 52 to 51 feels like a tie to me.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Works for me.
So this guy's been a chef. How long were you a chef? Well, since you were 12, right?
No.
You were in cooking, in the kitchen.
I've been into cooking my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah, but I dabbled in restaurants when I was 16. I did it for a couple years. Loved it because the waitresses were pretty and I didn't have to wake up to an alarm. And then sort of like did something else and then came back to it. Saw Emeril on Food Network and just fell in love.
What was the something else? Was that when you were in the band?
Yeah, that was band days. That was just like law, touring, just being an imbecile.
Right.
Yeah. And
but getting paid to be an imbecile.
Getting paid in a punk rock band isn't really a thing.
Barely paid. Yeah. Free beer.
Right. Yeah.
Free lodging in the van.
Of course.
That was always nice.
Yes,
yeah,
man.
But really, really started into it when I was 22. So, how many years is that? 26 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Time flies.
Holy crap. So when you were 11, you dressed up for Halloween, not as G.I. Joe, but...
I was Julia Child. Yeah.
Oh, good heavens.
Santa! And that's a great costume.
I was going to be Chef Boyardee. Julia Child. Okay.
Full drag. Full regalia, curly hair. My mom took a picture. There's photographic evidence of this.
That should be like on the menu.
Right. What's this Julia Child thing?
But she was, Stu, I just always looked up to people in food.
Yeah.
I just always liked to watch the food shows.
Was she like the first real food show superstar?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, she was definitely early
on. I can't think of a name before that.
No,
I feel like that's the first name I knew
of. And then afterwards it became a thing.
Yeah.
People came in and did segments, but she had a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Chef Pepin was another guy.
Yeah, Jacques Pepin. Yeah.
Pepin,
who lives
yeah.
locally.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, he lives in Madison.
Nice.
But Julia also did something bigger than just the show, is she brought fresh cooking to the United States. So she took the cans away, the freezer away, those things away, and cooked from scratch. And we weren't doing that as a culture before her very much.
Yeah.
After the war. And so she brought that to here. She took it. She spent time in France and then brought those ideas from Europe to here. And we would not be cooking probably how we're cooking today if it weren't for her.
Yeah.
You know, my takeaway from that show was
him.
That she drank a lot.
She did.
She was honest about
it. Make sure the sherry's good.
She was getting hammered.
Right.
She was. There's some great clips. But it's like, what's more fun than cooking at home for people you love and having a few glasses of wine, tequila, whatever you want.
Like some martinis.
They go hand in hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Except when the grill goes on fire. I had to have a little banked up of martinis. Like, oh, God, here I go.
Who are the TV chefs, past and present, that you think should be like on a top five list?
I mean,
so Julia Child.
Julia Child.
She's number one.
Yeah. Jacques Pepin.
Yep.
I think Emeril Lagasse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Bobby Flay, and I'm not just doing that to kiss ass because I was just on his show because it won't get me anywhere anyway.
No,
I just think he's a prolific competitor.
Yeah.
And he's put out so much good material. And
that restaurant, Bobby Flay's Americana in Mohegan Sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Yeah. His restaurants are good. That one's not there anymore, but his burger place is still there. It's delicious.
Yeah. I love that
burger. It's delicious.
Joint.
The burger is so good. Yeah.
I love that burger.
Yep, General Hammered. Yep, great.
And then there was a chef called Martin Yan, called Yan Can Cook, and he did Asian food. And I watched him all the time.
I never warmed up to Asian food.
Oh,
I could eat it, but I never, if I'm like, hey, where do you want to go to eat tonight?
Oh.
That never enters my radar.
I would love to learn how to make sushi. I love that stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Chinese food. I love Chinese food.
What about Rachel Ray? Yes or no?
That's Susie Homemaker stuff. That's
she's
not
delivering like, smoke. That,
no. She's
Susie Homemaker.
That's, you know.
Now, I don't mean her now.
Mm-hmm.
When she was on the Food Network, before Oprah discovered her.
Right. Like, her personality, I like it. You know, like, that's just not.
Oh, so you're saying that she's not going to make a dish that you want to put on your menu?
No.
No.
But her food is good. I'm not saying her food's not good, but yeah. I'm not a housewife who cooks at home. You know, like, I'm a house husband who cooks at home sometimes.
Right.
But her recipes never really, like, inspired me, I guess.
Gotcha.
But her energy, I guess, does. But
her energy was great. I remember just flipping through the channels, and I saw her, and I just stopped. And I don't watch cooking shows.
Yeah.
And I was like, this person's going to be a star.
Always has the best
time. I feel
time.
Like I'm in the kitchen with her right now.
Yep.
You can see she legitimately loved to cook. You could see that immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell she's comfortable with talking and cooking.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people can do that because you got to do one or the other.
Yeah. Yep. That's how I am. I'm not comfortable with talking and cooking. I'm comfortable with one or the other, certainly.
Right, but at the same time.
But at the same time is tough. And when she walks in a room, I've done a couple events with her. When she walks into a room, you know those people who have that superstar aura about them?
Yeah.
She has it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she glows.
Skip and Stratford.
Yes, my man. Listen up. Galloping Gourmet. Graham Kerr, I believe, was the first.
Oh, the Galloping Gourmet. That's right.
Yeah, forgot that one.
I heard of him. Yes. Galloping Gourmet. Yeah.
Wow. That's going back a ways.
Go.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm old, so I know.
Okay.
No, but that's a solid, like, I remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That segment.
Yep.
That bit.
I think Mom used to watch him. She used to call him the Goblin Gourmet.
The Goblin Gourmet.
Puerto Rican. Goblin Gourmet.
And he would start slurring about halfway through his shows, too, as I remember.
Yeah. Drinking was encouraged back then. Yeah. Old smoke.
So you're not a big talker in the kitchen, and I'm guessing when you're running the restaurant, you're not a big drinker in the kitchen?
No, that's after work.
That's after.
Yeah, that's after work.
Let's take a drink with the crew?
Yeah. I'm usually gone by the time. I'm usually gone before the crew leaves. Because I've been doing it for a million years.
Yeah,
so, you know, they're cleaning
You've
up. They're
right.
having their beers after work. I'm usually at home by that time. But there's been a very long history of having a drink with the crew after work.
Nice. Yeah.
It's part of the culture. It's a wind down thing.
Yeah.
Can be good, can be bad, right? Our industry is riddled with addictive issues and substance issues and stuff like that.
Right.
And I don't think it helps by having a couple drinks at work before you're released into the wild.
Yeah.
I think it gets you lubed up and then you go when you're a young cook. But for those who can handle it, it's nice stress relief. My cooks now, they have a drink at work and then they go home and play video games. I love it. So I don't need to worry about bailing any of them out of jail or anything.
Yeah. 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
What do you do now? Yeah.
Yeah. It's more like, hey, you were up too late playing Quake or whatever, you know? Like,
it's very much like entertainment. Like, I think chefs, you know, it's funny that you're in a band because you could, you know, it's like entertaining.
Yeah.
There's this moment of stress where you're on stage. And then you're off stage, but you're making a sea of people happy.
Yes,
through creation.
And it's both are both. You get immediate feedback on both, right?
Yeah.
So you know they're happy, right?
That's
you know they're happy or they're pissed off, right?
Right.
Right.
That's why we got to have you come back and just talk about crazy customers, good, bad, ugly.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got a good one.
Yeah.
I have to talk about it now.